You know that feeling, right? That kind of subtle wrongness when trust starts to wear thin, or you just get this gut feeling that something's off, maybe in a relationship, maybe in a group you're part of. It's such a confusing place to be, isn't it? You start questioning yourself, like, am I imagining this? So today we're diving deep into how to navigate these really tricky interpersonal situations. It's more than just awkwardness, it's about those big breaches. Okay, let's get into it.
And it's interesting, isn't it, how often these things like maybe trust eroding over a long time, or feeling like you're being manipulated, or even patterns that feel like, well, harassment, how they leave you feeling totally alone
Right.
and questioning your own judgment. That internal chaos can be honestly worse than whatever's happening externally.
Yeah, I get that.
So the source material we're looking at today, it offers this really solid practical framework. It's all built around this idea of ethical resilience.
Ethical resilience. Okay.
Yeah, it's not just about getting through it, it's about finding your feet again, but doing it with integrity.
Okay, so we're drawing insights from these excerpts called Ethical Resilience, Navigating Betrayal and Harassment. And what strikes me straight away is how it combines things. It calls itself trauma-informed and evidence-aware, which feels important for these kinds of unseen, often hard-to-prove issues.
Exactly.
So our mission here is to pull out the key takeaways, give you some real strategies, how to assess risk, how to maybe document things properly, and how to get back to some kind of stability.
Right.
And crucially, doing it without like blowing things up or making accusations you can't back up. It's about being smart and ethical.
Principled action, yeah, not just reacting.
So the source talks a lot about the disorienting effects of manipulation. And we're not just talking small disagreements here.
No, definitely not.
It covers stuff like long-term trust erosion, which can be so insidious, and suspected gaslighting, that feeling like your reality is being warped.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And even patterns that feel like coordinated harassment, when it feels like it's not just one thing, but a whole setup. If you've ever felt like someone was subtly messing with your head or like the game was rigged, well, this stuff really lands.
It does. It describes that feeling of like walking on quicksand. You just can't get solid ground under your feet.
Exactly. And the source points out the huge emotional, the psychological toll this takes, the self-doubt it creates.
Absolutely. And zooming out a bit, these experiences, they're not just upsetting, they can completely destabilize you psychologically, socially, which
Right.
is why the material really stresses having these grounded, evidence-aware frameworks. It's not just about what happened, it's how it messes with your sense of self, your ability to trust people, even your place in your own community or work.
When your own view of things is constantly questioned,
Yeah.
yeah, it chips away at you.
It really does. It undermines your confidence, your agency. So the brilliance of this approach, I think, is that it gives you actual tools and ethical ways to respond, to get some clarity back, reclaim that sense of agency, and, ultimately rebuild some stability. It helps you shift from just reacting out of confusion to making considered, empowered choices. And that trauma-informed piece is key. It gets that these things cause real harm, but it guides you towards healing and protection without sort of forcing you to relive it raw. It respects your process.
Okay, so understanding how damaging these things can be, who is this really for? Who benefits most from this kind of deep dive?
Good question.
The source mentions a few groups, and maybe you listening will recognize yourself here. First, it's for people processing, like a serious betrayal or a really messy breakup, where the story feels complicated and maybe unresolved. Second, it's for people who are just starting to sense manipulation or gaslighting or maybe weird group pressure.
That something's not right feeling.
Exactly. You can't quite name it, but it feels off. Then it's also specifically for people who know they're targets of harassment, but want ethical ways to respond, not just lash out.
Right, strategies that don't escalate things unnecessarily.
Yeah. And finally, and this is important, it's also for people like community leaders, caregivers, helpers, people supporting those affected, giving them the tools to help effectively.
That ripple effect you mentioned.
Yeah.
So, what connects all these different people and situations? I think it's the fundamental need for reliable tools, for ethical guides when you're dealing with contested dynamics or behaviors that aren't clear-cut.
Right, when communication fails.
Exactly. When intentions are murky and it's hard to tell what's really going on, the whole point is to help you find clarity, build confidence, and get a step-by-step way to protect yourself and move forward with integrity, whatever the specific situation.
Replacing uncertainty with a plan.
Pretty much a principled plan. The framework suggests that even when it's hard, the most effective path long term is usually the ethical one. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. Maintaining your own integrity through it all.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. The constant focus on ethical practice, ethics first guidance. When you're feeling hurt, betrayed, maybe really angry, why is ethics so central?
Right. It might seem counterintuitive.
Yeah. Like, shouldn't I just focus on defending myself or getting justice?
Yeah.
What does navigating this ethically actually mean when you feel attacked? How does that ethical lens really change your approach?
That's the core of it, isn't it? And what's fascinating is the balance it insists on. The material talks about balancing open-mindedness with critical thinking.
Okay, what does that look like?
It means, well, you try to consider different views, you don't just leap to conclusions, but you do it with a sharp, evidence-aware eye. You're not being naive.
Got it.
It also stresses respecting differing beliefs, which is vital for keeping things calm and maintaining your own integrity, even if you totally disagree with someone or their actions have harmed you. But maybe the most critical piece is focusing on verifiable actions.
Verifiable actions.
Yeah. This is the bedrock. Because when things get emotional or messy, it's so easy to get lost in guessing games, rumors, what you think someone meant, or just your own pain.
Yeah, definitely.
By grounding your understanding and especially your responses in things you can actually observe, things that could, in theory, be confirmed, you stay objective. You build a credible foundation if you need to take further steps.
So it stops it becoming a he said, she said, based purely on feelings.
Exactly. This ethical approach is really about rebuilding stability without accidentally pouring fuel on the fire or making claims you can't back up with something solid. It's about handling these really sensitive things responsibly with integrity, even if the other side isn't. That discernment helps stop you from becoming part of the chaos by reacting without the facts straight.
That makes sense. That difference between the emotion and the verifiable action sounds powerful. But I imagine if you're feeling really betrayed, emotions are sky high. It must feel almost impossible to step back and just look at facts.
Oh, absolutely.
Does the material acknowledge that? That initial, like, emotional resistance? And how does it actually help someone do this, not just know they should?
It does, yeah. That's where the trauma-informed part really comes in. It recognizes that emotions absolutely cloud things, that processing has to be careful. It's not about squashing your feelings down.
Okay, good.
It's more about integrating them with objective observation. And the great thing about this material is it doesn't just describe the problem. It gives you concrete, practical skills, things you can actually do step by step.
Right.
It's designed to empower you by building up that toolkit for the real world, acknowledging the emotions, but guiding you towards clarity anyway.
That's good to hear. That it's practical, not just theory. So let's talk about those skills. What are some of the core things listeners can start thinking about?
Okay, yeah. It's definitely hands-on. The framework is built around several core skills. Let's walk through some.
Great.
First off, learning how to map relationship histories and betrayal timelines, but doing it with clarity and neutrality.
Neutrality sounds hard there.
It is. But the goal isn't venting, it's objectively charting patterns, seeing how things unfolded over time. It helps you spot those subtle escalations you might have missed, see the process of how things went wrong, not just the end result.
Okay, so mapping it out. What else?
Second, learning to identify manipulation, gaslighting, and coercive group patterns responsibly. And responsibly is the key word.
Meaning
you understand the actual mechanics, how these things work, their effects, how they mess with your reality without just throwing labels around loosely.
Right. Gaslighting isn't just disagreeing with someone.
Exactly. It's that persistent denial of your reality that makes you doubt yourself. The framework gives you indicators to help tell the difference between a genuine misunderstanding and deliberate undermining.
Okay.
Then there's evaluating symbolic or spiritual narratives critically. This is really important in some contexts where beliefs or traditions might be twisted or used to control people.
Yeah, I can see that.
It helps you tell the difference between genuine guidance and manipulation, assessing actions based on ethics, not just exploited beliefs.
Critical thinking applied to belief systems.
Precisely. Then a really crucial one for safety, conducting personal risk assessments and outlining proportionate safety steps.
So assessing danger.
Yeah, but broadly. Not just physical threats, but psychological, social, financial risks, too. It helps you figure out practical, realistic steps to protect yourself and your well-being. avoiding overreacting, but also avoiding underestimating real danger.
Like noticing if things escalate after certain interactions and changing how you interact.
Exactly. Identifying triggers, mitigating risks. Then there's the super practical stuff, often missed, digital hygiene, and creating credible contemporaneous documentation.
Ah, the evidence trail.
Yes. So important if you ever need proof, legally, or even just for your own clarity. It teaches you what counts as good documentation, like dated screenshots, factual journal entries, saving emails properly, turning experiences into objective records.
Okay, that sounds incredibly useful.
Then understanding when and how to seek legal help or community resources. Knowing when things have crossed a line and you need outside support.
Knowing your options.
Right. And finally, setting trauma-informed boundaries and building supportive care networks. This is huge for self-care.
Trauma-informed boundaries. How's that different?
It acknowledges that past hurts can make setting boundaries really hard, so it helps you figure out how to state and enforce them in a way that respects your healing while still protecting you, building that strong personal support system.
Wow. Okay, so it's way more than just understanding the dynamics. It's like a full toolkit for self-protection and resilience, grounded in ethics.
Exactly.
You end up with actual tools for your life and a plan. It really shifts you from just reacting to being proactive. That sounds like, well, a challenging journey, but ultimately really empowering.
That's the goal.
So bringing this all together for the listener,
yeah.
What's the end game here? What does this framework ultimately help you build?
Well, the ultimate goal, weaving all these threads together, understanding the signs, using the tools, is to help you design your own holistic personal risk management and resilience plan.
A personal plan.
Ah,
yeah.
One that's really rooted in clear, healthy boundaries, making self-care non-negotiable, and putting practical safeguards in place, like your own protective strategy for navigating a complex world.
Creating a sustainable way to live with more clarity and safety. Regaining that sense of control.
Exactly. It's about empowering you with skills that last, a real toolkit for life. And it's worth saying, this isn't positioned as some quick fix. It shouldn't be.
Right. These things take time.
For sure. The material itself suggests it's a paced, practice-based thing, maybe 6 to 8 hours total, but spread out like 1 2-hour a week over a month or 6 weeks.
Making it manageable.
Yeah, accessible for people who aren't necessarily experts already. It allows time for reflection, for actually practicing these skills in your own context. So ultimately, it's about giving you not just clarity on the tough stuff, but the confidence and a real step-by-step way to protect yourself and move forward with integrity. It's that journey from disorientation to hopefully lasting empowerment.
This deep dive into ethical resilience, It really shows that dealing with betrayal or harassment, it doesn't have to leave you feeling lost or powerless.
Mm-hmm.
There are these clear frameworks, ethical guidelines, and really practical steps you can take to understand, to document, and yeah, to rebuild your stability and well-being. It's like finding solid ground again, using integrity as your compass.
And it does make you wonder, doesn't it? Beyond just personal resilience, which is obviously so important,
right?
How could these same principles, ethical navigation, focusing on verifiable actions, that mix of open-mindedness and critical thinking, how could they be used more broadly?
You mean like in communities or organizations?
Exactly. Could these strategies designed for individual healing and protection also maybe offer a blueprint for building healthier communication, for making collective spaces more transparent, maybe even preventing some of these breaches from happening in the first place?
Fostering a culture of clarity and integrity.
Yeah. It's just something to think about, perhaps, as you reflect on our conversation today and how these ideas might apply in your own world.